welcome to the Natty's Podcast. I am Andrew D., a host, and with me today is Adam B. Hello, Adam.
Hey.
We are going to be here talking about a little bit of X-Wing 3.0 minus 0.5. And just reminding everybody that we are alive and that we are well. And, you know, there wasn't really much to talk about for a long time. So now that things are spicy, things are coming back, it's a good time to also come back and respond to you. You know, get the community up and going again. So, Adam... have you played a little bit of X-Wing, you said? You played a match of it so far or something?
I played one game.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I played one, but I've read it all. Have you read over it?
I think I read everything. Doesn't mean I ingesting it all, I guess. Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... Well, here, I'll give everybody like a little quick rundown. If you aren't aware of some of the changes, here are some of the like really, really quick changes. Obstacles are more harsh now, so don't touch an obstacle. They're dangerous. Yes. We don't really need to go into the rules because there's a ton of available information on Atomic Mass's Games' website, so that's about it. Go check out obstacles for more rules for that. There are rules for bumping, so now when you collide into a friendly ship, you're going to be hurting each other. Again, look to rules for it. If you are bumping into an enemy ship, you can still take a focus or a calculated action for a stress, and you'll still be able to make an attack at range zero, but you won't be able to modify the attack unless you use force. Am I correct about that one, Adam?
I believe it's force, and I believe there's also one crew card that might allow you to do that.
Oh, interesting. And you cannot modify...
Oh, and Arvo, I think.
There we go. So, but you cannot modify your the Defender's Dice whatsoever, either. So there's that. There's a whole brand new list building mechanic. So now lists go to 20 points. And when you choose a ship, instead of being able to just put on upgrades that will add to your total squad point amount, each ship will say, let's say it's 5 points of your squad points, then it'll have a loadout cost, and you can add stuff to that ship according to its loadout costs and variable upgrades, and that won't affect the overall squad building at all. It just makes your ship kind of cool and you know, to whatever way you want to build it. There are new scenarios now. You'll randomly choose a scenario. If you're playing in a tournament, you know, there'll be a scenario per round, and you will in tournament play cycle through all the scenarios. There's four of them currently, and the developers did talk about the idea that they will be swapping them out in the future and adding new ones or vice versa. And the scenarios kind of look like this, where there are objectives on the board. Your goal is to get to 20 scenario points, and you do that by completing the objectives, by being close to them, being the only person close to them, securing them. There's lots of different ways the scenarios will play out, but either way, you get a certain amount of points for each objective, and that works towards your total 20 points. And then still destroying ships seems to still be the most, I think, you know, impactful way to work your way to 20 points. And as soon as 20 points occurs, that triggers the end game, and at the end of the round, then whoever has the most points will be the person who wins. And let's see, what else is there off the top of my head? I'm trying to think. There's still road. It's been around for a while, but random order after dials. So you're putting down dials, you roll for who's going to be first player or second player that round, and then you play out the round in that manner, and then the next round you do it again. dial peaking, there is a band list that AMG's put in. There are no more ways to look at another person's dial, and there are no more ways to reposition before, like pre-position.
Informant still exists, by the way.
Oh, well, there you go, there you go. So you can play with all your stuff, for sure, but standard play, and most likely the most common way to play is going to be standard. Will not have any of those things, and the banned list will be active, as well as in the standard play, only things that have been released in black boxes are going to be available to you, and things that have not will not be available. And I think that covers most of it. Adam, is there something that I missed that you can think of?
I don't know. That kind of just washed all over me. There was a lot of information. Information there to digest. And
Fair enough. All right, everybody, bathe in all of that glorious X-Wing information that I've washed over you. So what are some of your thoughts, Adam, about how X-Wing 2.5 is looking?
Okay, so 2.5 is not going to cut it. This is not some, like, little half-tweak to the game. I would say this is a bigger shift than what they call 2.0.
Fact, I thought when you said not going to cut it, I thought you were going to be like, it needs more changes.
Yeah. No, I think it really, like, the combination of their existing point shifting, because that's really what 2.0 was variable points. There was some other stuff, but that was the big takeaway. And then the big takeaway here is that is objectives. A structure to gameplay beyond just destruction. So, like, that's I'd argue those two things together has made the actual second version of this game.
Do you find the objectives being more impactful than taking out the ships, or is it still more impactful to take out the ships, and the objectives are like the cherries on the cake?
It looks like to me, just from so I played the easy one where you just fly near, you score points for being near. So by the time we really got into engagement, we were both nearing the halfway mark, and the destruction of a few ships was basically going to decide who won the game. And so with that kind of point scoring, very important, right? But at the far end, the one with the one in the middle and you just kill each other, it means nothing. That one in the middle is barely going to affect the game. So, big difference in there. But I think, like all games that are about, I don't want to call it your economy, I'm not quite sure. You know, just that chase the VP. You can't leave those points on the board uncontested. They matter.
Do you think it's a good system?
I think it's really changed what you do. In just the few games I've observed, I just watched someone absolutely dominate a game by taking his one ship and flying it around the long way and picking up those points off the board, securing the points, so he's earning every point per turn from them. And by turn three, he was earning 3 extra points over the other guy.
Do you think these objectives can really... 2 turns of
that,
really...
that's 6 yeah. points. You know, that's a third of the points you need to earn right there.
Do you think these objectives can really take away the agency of a list?
I don't think so. I think it's definitely going to force it. It's not forcing engagement, but it seems to be kind of like an area control opportunity kind of thing It's like a little bit of both. So like it's forcing you into zones. Movement, I think, is actually quite important now. A ship like an A-wing or like an interceptor that can just cross the board quickly and secure a point. You know, that's that maneuverability is literally like earning you points, theoretical points in this game now.
Yeah, without playing the new all of the new scenarios, my hope for scenarios was that, or objective-based play, that they would be some that they would be integral to get for the game because, you know, gaining working towards that final score is important. But they wouldn't be the most important thing as still taking out your opponent's list was going to be probably the most prevalent and most important. But it definitely would give reason for someone to get out of their corner, at staying in your own corner, mobile fortressing, whatever it may be, would no longer be at all a part of the game.
Yeah,
Is that
that
a
was.
good, is that a good reflection of or a description of where we're at right now? Or do you feel like there is like you're saying that the games are going very quickly, you're saying that the objectives are scoring like a quarter of the game, etc., etc. Do
Oh,
you
more than a
think that
quarter.
there's yeah, so do you think that there's a little bit too much on emphasis on the objectives? Do you think that's a good move? Like how is it becoming a game of don't worry about the other person's list and really just score the objectives, or is it
No,
still very important to take out the other person's list?
I think it's way too early. Like, I've literally played almost nothing. But I will say that I think that you very quickly are gonna find that there's like four scenarios with four different, like it's like an interior game within the other game of fighting each other. So the ones where you've got to just be near them to score the points, basically it's like an area control game. You want to find a way to be in those places and attacking and then continuing to hold them or taking other ones as you go. Whereas like another one where you fly in and take an action and then it's yours, that I feel like isn't the same area game. I think almost that's like a that almost could be a cat and mouse game where you're running, taking places and then turning on them and having an engagement while they try to get it back. Or, I mean, who knows? I think that within each of these games, there's going to be not there's going to be a play and a counterplay to like the obvious what you're actually doing in that game. So like those ones where you're just scoring being near them, obviously just taking them or making it dangerous to be in those areas, simple. The ones where you've got to take an action to secure it as your own, well, it seems to me like you're not going to be wanting to fly your ship up into combat and instead of doing anything to protect yourself or kill another ship, you just secure one point. I mean, that's okay if you had a bunch of ships, but I think if you had one, I wouldn't do that. You know, maybe reposition, maybe take them on. So like, I think that those will vary, and then the other one is where you pick them up and you drag them around, right? And then so that one again, I think is going to be actually maybe that's more the cat and mouse. Apparently, once you pick them up, you can't advance maneuver, so there's no turning around. So it really is just grab and run. So the ones where you secure, maybe the idea is you run a guy up and you secure, and then you protect, and then move him on to secure other ones while you try to control and fight from your base that you've secured.
Yeah, it sounds like they're,
Yeah.
yeah, there sounds like they're quite important still. What about the list building? I'm really excited about actually the new list building. How do you think that applies to being like widespread a jack of all trades for these objectives?
There is just an unending amount of combinations of new cards and different okay, I mean just the range of loadout points that you see when the numbers get high and the different amount of things that are on these ships, I think we're getting to the point where like there you remember the phrase combo wing? Like they had no idea what they were talking about. Like none at all. I could literally see two ships interacting with each other where they each there's like two levels of interaction between them. Maybe one, like literally each interacting with each other the entire time, as well as like having crew that also interact with each other the entire time. I just quick example is like there's a Lieutenant Sai with just Lieutenant Sai in one card, you would take, you know, coordinate them in action and then get a target lock on the target. And then every ship around you that has a low initiative also gets to modify their, they get a free, like, calculate to hit. So, like, this is just one ship and one card on that ship. So, if you look at, like, Chirinu with 35 points of upgrades, that's like,
Nothing could go wrong.
What could go wrong?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing could go wrong.
Like, I'm pretty sure I, like, oh, and the gauntlet stuff is beyond reason. I think it's easy to think of a ship that has three or four, like, abilities. Maybe, like, I bet you I could build a ship with three, like, range three bubble abilities.
It feels like things can be extremely dangerous. I brought a list with me. I was just triple aces, just for fun. And I was bringing it
Yeah,
up to play
none of
with a.
that.
I was just bringing that up to play with a friend. And everything dropped with AMG while I was driving. And so I switched it over to look at what the new squad points, loadouts, and everything were when I got there. I didn't add any cards. And I just looked at it and I'm like, oh my goodness. I have so much more room, and this list was already deadly before. But now I do wonder, like, what about three ship lists? Do you think three ships have a spot? Two ships don't exist anymore, by the way, all you wonderful people.
Yeah.
Max now, sorry, minimum three ships, max eight ships.
I'd still like to see the maximum lowered a bit, but you know, that's just me. Sorry, which specifically were you talking about there?
I was looking at Vader, Soon Tyr, and Sienna, and
Okay.
they both had in this situation a stealth. Sorry, not a stealth device. I know that's gone. They both had a shield upgrade.
Stealth device is still there.
No, it's gone. At least what that's what the developers expressed on Tuesday that it's on the ban list.
Stealth device? I thought I saw it
Yeah,
in the
shield
builder.
upgrade is still there, but and it might be in the builder, but it might. But it's The dev I don't know, maybe I could be wrong, but the developers did express when they were speaking with Flybetter that the stealth device was going to be gone, but maybe they were misspeaking. Regardless, I had shield upgrade Predator, and I had FZS, Afterburners, and Hate on Vader, and there is still a lot of room. In fact, so much room. There are still 10 more points that I could have put on Vader, and six or so points that I could have put on Soon Tyr and Sienna. So, yeah, there's a lot of room. Do you think, judging by that one scenario that you played, do you think there's room for triple aces?
I
Not that
don't.
not that I don't want to play, not that I want to play them at all. It's not really about that. I just really just A friend of mine asked actually specifically about triple aces.
Okay, so If you had the one scenario where you want to fly in and you want to control these points, and they're also flying in to control these points, how do your triple aces, how do they do that?
Mitigate and or be around the objective at first, and then and or take a flank on a hard positioning as they try to position for the objective. Take a hard flank and try to take out the ships and score by taking out ships, contrary to necessarily taking all of those objectives. And if they don't have ships left on the board, then I guess you're still okay. I don't know. I haven't played the scenario yet, so.
I would just argue that a pure that just in general, the utility of having three ships that all don't want to be shot might fail you when you're in scenarios where you need a guy to be in the fight. Like in the fight. So like that scenario you're talking about where you're like, oh, I fly out ahead and I hold these points. That's possible some of the time. But if you had to fly in and then turn away to like circle around and get the shot again while not being shot, during that time that other person is sitting on those points. So I would worry about three aces, all of whom don't want to stay there and be in the fight and score the points.
Yeah, it'll definitely take some practice and or working around with it. Is it just then at this moment more ships is better?
Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean like you could bring eight vultures and if they are there scoring points, does that mean that you're scoring 8 points? Is there a cap on the amount of points you can score a turn? I guess per
There's
objective.
only five objectives on the board, so
Yeah.
there's obviously you could only score five. The list that I played was a six ship list. It was a B wing, an X wing, a Y wing, a Z95, an ARC, and an A wing.
Wow, that's a lot that you managed to get in there.
All named.
Wow.
I would say in total, probably not a crazy amount. It looks like about 40 points of loadout across the board.
Did you like comparing that list to where we were at when we were building to 200? Does that list, because I never have heard a list like that, like does that list go well above 200 with just ships?
By the old stand, like by the old points, I am 100% certain that the Z95 and the A-wing wouldn't be afforded. And I don't think that you could drop one of the other ships and afford both of them, but possibly. But once you get beyond how one or two ships being lost, you would also have to lose. I mean, that's 40 points of upgrades. So I'm gonna guess you'd have to lose like at least 20. Between 20 and 30 points of those upgrades. These guys would be lean. Like Gina Moonsong, the useless B Wing. She is an Initiative 5 B Wing that costs 4 points. That can trajectory simulate a seismic charge. I mean, it's pretty funny when everybody's flying into the board trying to score points, and there's rocks there that can be blown up at the same time.
Do you think the best strategy now is to just fly forward though for objectives, or is there
The one
room
that I
for more
played, I think
strategy?
so. The just that's what I played. I played the one where you're near them and you score, and I think that version is like the speed version. It forces you to get in there, get those points, or the other person can just run away with it.
No, we're one straight to victory is what you're saying, eh?
I actually so I've observed a couple of games, The one game where the guy stayed together in a block and just moved forward. That was the one where the other guy sent his ship around and secured the points. And so he was scoring on the one, and the other guy was scoring on the other four. 2 rounds of that, he would score 2 points. The other guy would score 8 points. That's literally, once you get to that point, I mean, you've already scored points coming into that point. One more turn and it's likely over. Just from the points. So,
Yeah,
like, that block of ships in the corner. Now, you gotta move out, turn one, secure the points on your side of the board. There's no wait in the corner.
even in the chance encounters one, I flew with those triple aces, and I flew against Boba Fett, a headhunter, and a Fang fighter. It was there was no time to still be back. It was in the game right away, like
So,
threes to five straights.
yeah, which one was this? Which scenario?
Chance encounter.
So this was just kill each other, and the guy just—I mean, that's just someone jumping in, because like, you didn't have to do that. There's 1 point being earned per turn in the center. Killing almost anything is equal to 3 rounds of that.
But I really wanted the 1 point.
I don't think that 1 point matters at all. The 1 point is literally there because if you were, say, stuck with, let's pretend you fly in your three aces and you lose an ace, so you're playing defensively. Well, the other guy can hang out in the middle of the board and just slowly accumulate points, just each turn, putting a little more pressure on you to try to end it before they win.
Based on all this information from the scenarios and what you've played so far, is there something that you would do to make this, considering scenarios, is there something that you would do to make them better in the current game, like how they are?
I don't know anything about adjusting the scenarios. I just hope that they have more coming and they're willing to at least cycle or review the things over time.
Yeah, it scares me a little bit when you mention that the games are, you're like, oh, the game was just so fast. It was just so quick.
That one, like those ones, they don't have to be like that. It's just they, if one person is playing it like that, you have to play like that too.
Was that the fireworks game that you mentioned?
Yes, yeah, that was the fireworks game.
Nothing wrong with running into a few seismics and just taking just damage
Well,
after
yeah,
damage.
it was Gina trajectory simulating in a bomb the first turn and then dropping one the turn after that all the explosions came from.
There was a couple things that I thought about when this information's come out, and the developers, and upon listening to them, seem to have a really good handle over a lot of what they've brought to the game, and they seem to really want to have the game be the best, very healthy, and they've made some really great analogies as like trimming a garden and taking care of it and incentivizing adding more to the game rather than taking away from the game, upgrades being a parallel to that. Now I wonder if I was wondering about new players, and I was wondering about the complexity for new players. I mean, before there was definitely some lots of complexity, and I would say that the bid system was super scary for new players because when you start off as with a new player, basically the same thing happens every time. You see the piles, and you're like, oh, I want to put all of my things on the ships. And then they put a little bit too much heaviness on the ships, and then they don't function as well, or they when they're killed off early, they score a lot of points. It's hard for a new player to understand that dynamic, but eventually you get around it and you figure it out, and then you play within that dynamic. But I did like the idea where it's like, we want to incentivize using your stuff, not, you know, reducing your list to use the very bare minimum so that you are in a you know, a better position. So I get that for sure. I do wonder about the complexity now, though. Now we're looking at not only just a dogfight, but we're looking at all these different scenarios. We're looking at several different modifying things as you play through, you know, road, for example. We're looking at lists now that, you know, with these loadout costs that are going to be very hefty in cards, very similar to 1.0, where we saw a lot of upgrades, a lot of words, a lot of reading. How do you think the game is going to be? I think one of the things I know for certain is going to be better is the fact that our standard players now only out of black box, so that makes it much more easier for a person to come in, because they don't have to try to dig for a ship that was, you know, several years ago, maybe even only 1.0 released. But the complexity, what do you think about how that is been affected?
I would say just one of these super ships with like 30 odd points on it, you know, 20 whatever, you know, whatever. They alone are so complex that I think a new player both wouldn't understand them if they were theirs or their opponents. I think there are people that play this game that already would miss one of those elements. I mean, I think the gauntlet is a good example of like all these big ships, where like the scum gauntlet. I think you'll see Maul with the scum gauntlet typically appear with somewhere in the range of 9 cards on them, 8 maybe.
Right?
So
that's,
like,
that's a lot. All the Beskar, all the Mandalorian upgrades,
all the things,
like, all the crew.
Good luck keeping track of all that shit, both you and your opponent. I think it's like, I already miss much simpler things when I mean, I feel like this really takes away that, like, I really like to just like come up with an idea, build a list, and play it. And sometimes I forget part of the thing that I've built to do. I would think that casual pick it up and figure it out and play it is like, I don't know how casual list building is anymore. I feel like it's like a very like complex thing.
But I agree.
Both after you've put the, like, you can just slap stuff together, but like, this, I think before, when you had, so like you had a 50-ish point ship and a 40-ish point ship and a 30-ish point ship and another 30-ish point ship, those pieces, each one of them has the ability to kind of shrink and expand it however you like to make the 200 points and to get what you deem the most valuable across them. That doesn't work the same now, 'cause now you just afford the ships that you afford, and then after you look and see what comes from the loadout. I feel like that's, I don't know exactly how that's changed it, but it's changed it quite a bit. And I just, the other element that is, I found just in list building, is that like the wildly different composition some of the ships have.
Mm-hmm. Anything specific to note beyond that one Lambda shuttle that you mentioned?
Well, no, the like Gina Moonsong and the B-Wing that can trajectory simulate a seismic charge now. Or
yeah.
Like an A-Wing with a cannon on it. Or a TIE FO with a cannon on it. Or, I don't know. You just pick up and look at random ones, and every once in a while you'll just see one in a list that, like, whatever, for whatever reason, they've decided it gets a very different loadout.
What about flying? They mentioned that the asteroids do this. Sorry, the obstacles do this, and the bumping does this now, and you can still do a lot of stuff like continue to attack even while you're bumping, and such. I mean, it's that some of that seems a little simpler, a little more approachable, I guess, because it keeps the game going. Because I would say that bumping, like tactical bumping, was a big time skill to learn, and now that that is a somewhat out of the game, not that it's completely gone, but it's just kind of nerfed how strong it is. And attractor changes, not being able to put other opponents on obstacles, that is another really big one because you come along with a Nantex, you're like, and now you're on this thing and you can't attack, and that can be really devastating as a new player. I wonder if some of the things that have been dialed back with some of the added complexity, I wonder where we meet in the middle. But I do agree with the one thing you said, and I know that not everyone's going to agree with it, but I kind of like the idea of some simplicity. I liked it when I had a ship that maybe had two upgrades on it instead of five.
I don't know if a ship that has, literally like eight different things, with especially these the crew that some of the crew and gunners that give multiple effects. You have a you're getting back to the this super ship takes four actions per turn. That's complicated. It
Yeah,
just
very
is.
much so. Yeah, no, I agree, and I don't think it's as simple as reducing the loadout costs or changing the upgrades. I think it's the new dynamic, and I don't think it's easily escaped right now. So yeah,
I
I
mean,
don't know.
there's stuff here that's just once again, it's just wild.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
Like they gave Scum a massive bump with the crew again, which is, I think Scum's crew like possibilities now are just hit the absolute peak of like insanity.
What about, here's another thing. What about real life play? Because I have played competitively and casually, and you have as well. What about the idea of setup? If we're going from one table to another, or even if we're hanging out with our friends with these objectives, are we looking at a lot more setup, or are we looking at just a tiny bit? And how do you think that plays out in the different settings?
You know what? I haven't thought too much about it, but yeah, setup's gonna be funny. You definitely like bring all of your range rulers, and they better bring out all of their range rulers as well, and then like maybe a third set of range rulers.
You know what's funny, actually? Good news. My arm, my forearm at least, 4.5. It's 4.5 length in range rulers. Super helpful. I'm just gonna put my arm down on the table for future reference.
Are you saying we're using appendages to measure 4.5 in range?
We absolutely are.
All right.
Just to reduce the
I
time.
didn't know X-Wing was that kind of game.
It was sometimes you just put it out on the table, and that's how you go from there. That's maybe you haven't done enough tournament play, to be honest.
I believe that's referred to as a menacing flop.
It's very menacing. Yeah, but yeah, I don't like setup was always like in tournament play and stuff like that. It was like, okay, get to your table, 5 minutes, let's go. And a lot of people would be like, oh my goodness, the timer's already started. I think that's going to be
Never
an
that.
interesting situation while you're trying to set things up. The best solution I have for it is that a mat already has a perfectly centered obstacle area already, and that it wouldn't take away from so much as the graphic in the back if that's the way the game is supposed to function now. I would totally be down for a system open mat where it has like just a little highlighted area for the objective in the center, and then go from there, right?
Yeah, I mean, sure. It like, are you talking about like a printed on the mat, like these
Yeah,
different,
printed on the mat, yeah.
like not the objectives though, right? Like you're
No,
talking about
no.
like the range two from the edge space.
Just the center objective it being placed on it'd be
Oh,
like a
just.
little highlighted area where you would place it down.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha. So, very similar to like a pool table. You have your
Yes.
little just dot right in the middle. Here's the
100%.
middle right here.
This because then
That
it
would be
keeps
nice.
that
Yeah.
yeah, you're right, that just a little bit of, ease
Just to
of
cue it up. Yeah. Just
exactly.
rack up the
Same
game on
idea.
that spot.
Yeah, your analogy with a pool table, that's the perfect analogy. That's
Yep.
exactly what I'm talking about. And I
Yep.
think yeah, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I haven't even thought about like I would argue that the whole scenario, like a lot of this stuff is like just inherently antithetical to like tournament play and like be prepared for this to get a lot more of a casual feel to it. Maybe I'm wrong. It could
Yeah, that
turn
was
around
my.
over time, but like I think at first it's going to be a little, it's just so wild right now. I don't
It,
see
yeah.
like a, this smooth, tight tournament like really being a thing. I just, it'd be just too much crazy stuff. Like I don't even know if you can build a list that does all of it well.
Yeah, that was gonna be my thing. I mean, I mentioned to somebody a little bit of before, but one of the reasons why I liked X-Wings is because you had so sorry, X-Wings. Well, no, I hate X-Wings, but X-Wing the game I like. So in games like Magic the Gathering or Hearthstone would be another good example. That some of the best players in the world only have such a win percentage because of the randomness that happens within the game. And I wonder now that the randomness of different scenarios and how it's so difficult to build a list that functions in all scenarios is.
I mean,
And this is all theory again, if that's going to bring down that agency.
killing is like job one, right?
Still job one, eh?
But like if there's another job on the table, like keeping a consistent flow of points going while your opponent does, like it's just, you've got two jobs now, right? Like it's, just think of any other
I have
game where
three
you
jobs,
can't
Adam.
just do one thing, right? Like
Yeah.
but I don't think that the scenarios actually are so random that they somehow make it so someone who's competitive doesn't have a game to play there. These are fixed points on the board, right? So
Yeah.
wouldn't a more serious player start developing, it's about developing the mindset of these are points on the table that also have to be scored while I kill, so what ships do that, right?
Yeah. And
So
here's a creative bit I wanted to mention, actually. Sorry, finish your thought.
just I was gonna say, so like that, I think just the it's just it's now that's it's that's the new mindset for the serious player. I think
Yeah.
the tournaments will get there. I just think we're really far away from it being like that. It's not, it just can't be those tight rounds. Although if the games always go quick, then if you maybe there's just more time between the rounds to like set up and do your thing.
Oh, good point. Good point. That's actually, yeah, I think that's really good. And I think so far, averagely, that's been spoken about that most of the games have been going about 45 minutes to an hour, contrary to 75. So that's, and that's just being average.
Yeah, and that is reflective of, I think, most of the games having 5 points on the table that can be scored every round.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
The one
yep.
has one, but the other three have 5 points.
Oof.
So that's the equivalent of killing a five, you know, four rounds, game over.
Yeah, that is, geez.
So
yeah,
when someone takes three and the other person only takes one, that's, like, that's unacceptable. You've got to have two. See, like, just you know, if you start to...
How do you even come back from that? Jeez, like...
Well, you that's a, you can't just let it happen.
Yeah.
It's not about it, like, coming back. Like, you see them set up there to secure their points. There's no reason you shouldn't be securing your points the first turn, too. It's that, like you said, no more fortressing in the corner.
Yeah, and that will be good at least. I prefer, I'm happy with that for the game. I just, you know, the next evil is, that's what I'm wondering about, right? But I'm just a nervous person, I guess.
I think it's gonna be a lot of thickness, like a lot of shit on the table.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, exactly. So here's from a creative design perspective. If you were to create objectives that go on the table, like, what do you think the best way to have these objectives be on the table? Do you think cardboard token objectives are just fine? Or do you think, like, a different material, a weighted material, something that doesn't move around as much? Do you think acrylic is better and would work just fine? What do you think?
I don't think there's going to be a good solution at any point. I mean, honestly, probably the best thing for all this stuff would be stickers that just stick to the table for both the asteroids and the objectives that were just flat.
Good point.
That did, like, you know, or at least, like, you know, very thin. You know, like, those cutting boards? You have any of them? Like, the really thin cutting boards?
I know exactly what you're talking about,
right?
Yeah.
Like them.
Yeah.
That would be great, where you could stick them on the table and, like... you'd have to, like, peel them up to, like, lift them. There would be
yeah.
no, like thing that you're up on. But, like, maybe a little bit heavier, you know? Like 1.5 mil or something like that, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
But not, you know, no, let's just go one mil.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Good. It's gonna, you know, they're gonna put out acrylic and everyone's gonna do their best to murder each other for said acrylic.
yes, a good murdering is always worth it for some good acrylic, so. And I'm sure that there'll be a scenario, I mean, I think they've already spoken about it. There'll be like a scenario pack that comes out that has all the stuff in it, plus a nice little set of cards of all the different scenarios,
you know,
to randomize them and such.
I'll just throw it out there, you know, the plastic cards that they've already given away?
Yep.
Like, those would make pretty nice obstacles and objectives, wouldn't they?
Oh, I agree. That'd be great. I would totally be down for that.
That'd be pretty fancy, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I like it. All right. Any closing thoughts? I got one last question, but I just wanted to wrap up with any, if you have any idea, things that you want to throw out there before I ask my last question.
I'll say this. Like, my main takeaway from this, they're making big moves. Still... definitely a work in progress. There's a million things we could talk about that are like just like undone, and that's fine. They can just be undone as long as enough of the game works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all if they want to move to like a Warhammer style where they like rejigger the rules every couple of years in some significant way, shift these loadout points and stuff like that, awesome. All of it's great.
Right on. So my one question, and I agree with you. I'm in the same boat.
Don't fly generics, because there's no point. Like, don't. Just simply don't.
Just get named. Make your stuff do stuff.
They all suck.
Well, that's one way to remove generics from the game and really put just named pilots out there. Make all generics suck.
Yeah.
My one thing... Okay, so here's my last question before we close off. when you looked at the list building, what was the ship that you haven't put on the table yet, but because of like finding out the loadout cost and how many points it's costed, what ship are you like excited to bring to the table that you haven't yet?
I mean, a Super Poe is gonna be pretty cool.
This is true. He has. You told me before, but we t started casting that he has just so many points.
I haven't even tried to play it because, like, so you know you're talking about your like three aces.
Yeah.
They, well, by not allowing you to sculpt those edges to make them work, you know, pose a seven. That you know, Poe and Rey only leaves one 5 point ship.
You mean he's a six?
No, Poe is a seven.
Poe's a seven.
Yeah, there's two Poes.
What do you
The
mean Poe's a seven? Initiative.
no, I'm talking about his points cost.
Oh,
Rey is
points
an eight.
cost.
Rey is an eight, right? Just like Vader, the Vader that you're, what was it again? You're talking Vader, Soon Tyr, and
Sienna.
Sienna? Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
Soon Tyr
Sien is
six.
cheap, but Soon Tyr
Yeah,
and
Sienna
Vader,
five.
yeah, like Soon Tyr and Vader literally make another ace not possible.
Well, yeah, Vader's eight, Soon Tyr's six, and Sienna's five.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's just no good then, right?
Well, I don't know, maybe not. I mean,
Well, that's
at six,
19,
you
right?
can
You're
get a
gonna come
good.
in, concede a point, turn one.
Is Grand Inquisitor six?
I believe he is.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's a pretty good
Yeah, I think he's
replacement for Sienna.
20 points of upgrades, I think.
That's also really,
No,
that's really
sorry,
good.
17. Just 17. Don't worry about it.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to seeing your Super Po.
But yeah, Poe has, sorry, what was it again? Did I say? Poe
A
had,
lot.
he
It's
had
already someone.
25. Poe has
Oh,
a
25.
solid 25 points. So that's how you can make like a 9 health Poe. But
That's, yeah, that's crazy.
I'm gonna make the Poe with overdrive thrusters, which went down by 5 points. Some of the stuff that they adjusted down on the modification side is really changed.
It's gonna be it's an insane world we're
Yeah.
walking into, but I am excited about it. Anyhow, thanks for joining me, Adam. I
Yeah.
really appreciate it. And Gus, wherever you may be, Gus. We look forward to listening to or hearing from you in the near future as you couldn't join us tonight. But that's all from us from today. We'll be back before you know it. Keep your ships on the mat and just roll natties.